Amen. That's some good news. Amen. I want you to turn in your Bibles as we continue in our worship today. It is Palm Sunday, right? And we're supposed to celebrate. I know some of you are saying, what are we going to celebrate? I'm going to tell you that in a minute. But we are grateful that we can be a part not only of this life, but the impact, the lives of many others that are in need. And I saw Bishop Hines. I saw him on a workshop. He was talking about community development. And that's right down my street. And y'all know me. I love my community. And some of the things that he's talking about, we're going to connect on some other things and talking about how that we can transform people's lives. And you got to believe it. Life begins with the church. Why? Because we have the life-giving God in the church. There's no need of having a dead church if you got a living Savior. Clap your hands, all you people. Amen, amen. Turn your Bibles to John chapter 19. I feel like preaching now. Yes, Lord, I feel like preaching now. You don't got me fired up, Bishop. Amen. John 19 is where we will find our scripture verse. The Bible says that then delivered he him. This is the King James that I'm reading from. Therefore unto them to be crucified. And they took Jesus and led him away. And he bearing his cross went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him and two others with him, on either side one, and Jesus in the midst. And Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross, and the writing was, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Just for a thought today, I want to talk about the battle at the cross. The battle at the cross. You may be seated. Father, bless us now as to proclaim your word, that we might do it in a way that people can not only hear it, but understand it. I ask that you would speak through me, and that, Lord, you would bless these your people. Give us all understanding, Lord, that we might be able to be more than conquerors through you that loved us. I pray that it would be time well spent, that more importantly, we would glorify your holy name. We love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. A couple of notes I wanted to pass on. You'll notice as you go around the church, some of you may want to walk around the church. Some of you may want to walk in the church. And if you do, you will notice that we have some historical information in each one of the windows. Our Black History Celebration Committee, they've gone to the labor of making sure that you understand significant people and their importance of what that meant to you and I. So go around and read them. I've been going around and I've been checking them out, and I've been finding a lot of good things that I did not know. So you'll be able to find that. And then right after church, Nurse Shirley is going to lead us in our walk, or somebody's going to lead us, and Peggy or somebody, they're going to lead us in our walk. Amen. So we're going to have a great time. Amen. A lot of us have related to the cross in a way that we feel close to it somewhat, but we don't understand the significance of what happened that day at Calvary. I'm bringing this up on Palm Sunday because we celebrate things, but we do it in a way that is more, how would you say, religious, ceremonial, and it doesn't really have a deep meaning in our life. What I want you to realize is that when Jesus came into Jerusalem, he came to do battle. He came to fight. They welcomed him as a king. He rode on a donkey, which was a symbol of peace. But he knew in his mind that the task the war that he had to fight, every soul was looking to him to win. Had he lost that fight, had he lost that battle, you and I would have no hope. We wouldn't have a church. We wouldn't have anything else. So I want to reflect on this idea, this thought, the battle at Calvary. Here's some main things we're going to talk about. Remembering the cross. How do you remember the cross? What does that mean to you? What significance does it have in your life? And then the cause of the conflict. Why in the world would Jesus want to come to a place called Jerusalem and on a hill called Golgotha? Why would he want to go there if there wasn't a reason for him being there? It had been prophesied that Jesus would come into Jerusalem. The prophets tell us that he would ride in and they would say, "Hosanna in the highest." But we need to discover why. Last thing we want to do is call for armor bearers. I don't want you to sit back and for you to think to yourself, "I had nothing to do with it." You had everything to do with it. I might even go as far as to tell you, you were there. "Oh, I didn't come in that crowd. I wasn't a part of that." But something that represented you was present on that day. You can't deny it. If you deny it, then that would mean that you have no part with the Savior. Then lastly, we're going to talk about the benefits of the cross. What does that mean? I get to wear it around my neck. I get to say it's a symbol. We're going to share that with you as the Lord wills today. And then finally, we're going to close with prayer. Unless you really see Christ, unless you really see what he has done in your life, it is entirely possible for you to miss the whole meaning of what the Roman centurion said when he looked up and he saw this man that suffered on the cross. Now, mind you, that centurion had probably witnessed the death of many people. He'd probably seen them come and go. "Yeah, that one died. That one died." He sighed and he breathed his last breath. But he said of Jesus, "Surely this man," everybody say, "this man." "This man was" who? "The Son of God." I want you to hold on to that thought. Because a lot of people are getting ready to celebrate Easter and they really don't know why they're celebrating. Some are doing it because it's a ceremony. It's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to go to church and celebrate, you know, Easter, and, you know, come out and have all the Easter egg hunts and all of that, and we're supposed to celebrate it, but it's more of a ritual. It's more of, "Let's do this now." And people don't really know the full meaning. Some would even look at Easter as a time, well, you know, the casual view will be, "Well, you know, Jesus, he kind of got in trouble with the Romans and got in trouble with the leadership in Israel. And, you know, what happened to him is unfortunate, but he died. He was a good man, but he died." And that's the way that some people tend to look at this awesome event. You can even look at it from the standpoint of where you're saying to yourself, "You know, I believe that Christ did all of this, and I believe that he died on the cross, but I want to see what's in it for me." We have a culture, and that's why you don't have as many organ donors, because people think, "What's in it for me?" Uh-huh. Guess what? You're going to leave this world broke. Regardless of how big your house is now, the last one that you have is going to be about six by three? That's your last house. And then again, your relatives might decide to cremate you. In that case, you only need an urn. Are y'all in the building? It's not what you get in life, it is what you give that makes the difference. And what I'm here to tell you is that Easter is a time where we have our Savior, your Lord and mine, we have Him coming in power to do something that transformed the life of everybody. When Jesus died on the cross, it was not an ordinary death. That's what I'm trying to tell you. We had a problem. And our problem, still here today, sin. We love to talk about the resurrection. But if you don't understand why He died, there's no need of you even talking about a resurrection. Sin had separated man from God. And the Bible said the wages, the payment for sin is death. Hadn't changed. People do their stuff now, think they can get away with it. You cannot get away with it. It's still death. And what I'm telling you is when this man called Jesus rode into Jerusalem, he knew that he was on his way to the cross. But it was not for himself. You were held in bondage. You were kept in captivity. You were locked out of the promises of God. And you could have prayed all of your lifetime and would have never set you free unless he made it to the cross. On the night that Jesus spent in Gethsemane, even there he knew that he was the Lamb of God. Blood started gushing from him because he prayed so fervently. I mean, he was a blood sacrifice. And the blood poured out of his pores because he knew that he was the Lamb. But he had to get to the cross. He had to go there. Everybody say he had to go there. So when you think about the cross, you think about this battle. Isaiah, some 800 years before Christ came, uttered these words, "All we like sheep have gone astray. And each of us have turned to our own way." And what did the Lord do? He laid upon him the iniquity of us all. He laid upon every murder that had been committed. Every rape that had been committed, every curse word that came out of your mouth, every time you got drunk, every time you got high, every time you lied on somebody, every time you stole something, every time you talked about a neighbor, every time you backbite, whatever it was laid on him. My sin, your sin was laid on him. In the same way that those animals were drawn to the ark when Noah built that ark and the animals were drawn to it, your sin like a magnet was drawn on Jesus. And the Bible said that he bore those sins. But he had to make it to the cross. They whipped him all night long. He was weak. But he said, "I got to make it to the cross. If I don't make it to the cross, I can't sacrifice. If I don't make it to the cross, I can't give my life as a ransom." You see, the devil wanted to interrupt God's plan. But Jesus said, "I got to win this war. There are some folk at Crossroads that need me to save them. There are some people in the state of Virginia that need me to save them. There are some people in the nation called America that need me to save me. There are some people in China, in Africa that need me to save them. There are some people over in Europe, people that you might not even like." He said, "I need to get to the cross so I can save them. I am the ransom." The devil fought him. Psalm 22 describes how the demons
rest upon him. And here's the point. You got to enjoy the pleasure of sin. You enjoyed it when you were doing your own, it's all right. Have a good time. But he had to bear the pain of sin. It wasn't just him taking on the sin. He became sin. How can a righteous God, a good God, become something ugly that I'd done? It's one thing to do it, but it's another thing to pay for it. Let me put it in some not so difficult terms. It's one thing for you to go and get a new car knowing that you can't afford it and you drive it for about a month. Man, love your new car. They don't know that within a few days, that car that was given to you going to be taken back. Why? Because you couldn't pay for it. I want to argue with you that not even one sin could you pay for. If I ask for a show of hands, how many of y'all have committed one sin shamefully? You would tuck your head and say, you better go up on that. You better increase the number. Matter of fact, you might as well go on and multiply. Matter of fact, you might as well, what do they call it? Exponential? To the power of all the powers. But when payday came, Jesus said, I will take your sins and I'll bear them on that cross. A warrior. He that knew no sin was made sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Isaiah said, all we like sheep are gone astray. We turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord had laid upon him the iniquity of us all. You were in there, didn't I tell you? Look at somebody and say, there you go. No, you weren't present in the crowd that day, but your sin was. If your sin was not there, you couldn't be forgiven. What else happened? On this hill, choir just sung it. I was going to call them and say, Bill, can y'all sing Old Rugged Cross? Before I even asked, they sung it. Hear the words. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering. If you didn't hear Creed, I'm going to repeat it. The emblem of suffering and shame. For I love that old cross where the dearest and the best for a world of lost sinners was slain. There he was on his way to not just a hill, but a battlefield. There he was on his way not just to give up his life, but to fight for you. To fight for you. He needed an armor bearer. Everybody say armor bearer. We call deacons and others around the church armor bearers. Why? Because they don't have to do the main assignment. They just need to be there. Now, I wanted to ask a question. Where were you in the crowd? As a matter of fact, I've already asked that. Were you with the Sanhedrin? The folks that were jealous? You know, we got a lot of that in church now. The people that said, well, you know, I just want him to do away with him because he's doing too much stuff, getting too much attention. Were you there? Were you perhaps maybe Judas? I'm just in to get some money. Got 30 pieces of silver and then couldn't spend it. Lord, have mercy. Were you there? Were you there with the Romans? He said, I'm just here to do my job. Or maybe you were one picked out of the crowd. John later on tells us one Simon of Cyrene. Luke goes into further details that he was coming out of the country. So it must have been a country boy like me, coming out of the country. All of a sudden the Romans say to him, hey, take this cross and carry it, armor bearer. If you can't bear the cross, at least take it up and follow Christ. Well, what are you talking about, preacher? I'm talking about this man who was on his way, perhaps someplace else. All of a sudden, he got commandeered into this thing, and now he's got to take that load up that hill. See, church folk have a way of thinking everything going to be easy. I ain't hear nobody. Everything going to be nice. I still ain't hear nobody. Folks going to like me. Nobody going to talk about me. And as soon as they do, I'm going to lay my cross down. Look at somebody, tell them you better pick it up. Why should you pick it up? You are an armor bearer. If you're not an armor bearer, then you're automatically by default with the rest of the crowd. The same folk that said crucify him, those were the ones that wanted to get him. At least say, I don't want to really do it, but God, because you're walking ahead of me, I'm going to follow you. The way's going to get hard. Nobody told you that it was going to be easy. Anytime you follow in the footsteps of Jesus, it is the Via Dolorosa, which means way of sorrow. Don't ever think that you living as a Christian, people going to bow down and flowers going to bloom every time you walk down the pathway. It's going to get rough sometimes. Why? Because you're on the right road. You may even have to cry late in the midnight hour. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Ah, sometimes your burden get on your shoulder. But that's when you can take it to Jesus. Why? Because you're following him. And Jesus said, I got a battle to fight. I need an armor bearer. Got to the cross, didn't have anything but the cross to fight with. Isn't that something? Isn't that something? He said, I need something else now. I got to get on this instrument here. I've got to get on this death device that the Romans used for torture. I got to get to this cross. I got to get up on it. So give me 3 nails. And with the nails, they nailed one hand. He groaned, but he said, I'm fighting now. Blood began to drip out of that wound. They nailed the other hand. He said, his own now. And they nailed his feet. And then what the Romans would do, just to torture, just to make sure that the individual is not just having pain from the wrist and from the feet, what they would do is they would take the cross and they would lift it up and hold it. And then they would slam it into the ground, making sure that every joint was dislocated. So the person had problems breathing. And every time they would try to push themselves up, the joints would hurt. Your Lord was in pain. But if you ever read Psalm 22, it'll tell you that all of my bones are out of joint. Who's he talking about? Jesus, the Lamb of God. That's why I wanted you to come to Calvary today. That's why I wanted you to see the Savior on the cross. You think you're going through something now. No. He fought for you. He fought for you. Every breath he breathed. Remember what he said? Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. That wasn't just for the folk that were piercing him, the people that were taunting him, that was for you and for me. Every time you were out there thinking, I'm going to do my own thing, God was putting his best on the cross for you because he knew you couldn't stand it, you couldn't take it, but Jesus said, I'll take it. I'm getting ready to finish now. I'm getting ready to close this argument. That's why you got to see what he's doing. You can't just take a casual look of the cross. Oh, yeah, they killed an innocent man. Oh, yeah. You can't just take a ceremonial approach to it and say, well, you know, we're just going to go to church and we're going to sing these songs and we're going to celebrate Easter. That's not enough. What I challenge every one of us to do today is to say from now on, I'm going to take up my cross gladly. I serve a risen Savior. I don't want to get to next Sunday, but I wanted to just give you a clue that the battle ain't over yet. I wish I had somebody I could talk to. All you got to do is take up your cross and follow him. Oh, on that cross, he groaned and he died, but you know, something happened. Something happened on that cross, Al. When we think about the cross and we look at what happened, Jesus said a couple of words. And you need to understand what those words really mean. He was signing a covenant for everybody. You don't sign a covenant if it hadn't been finished. You don't just put your name on something that you haven't read and gone through because it's got terms. How can I say in the words of the song, what can wash away my sin? Jesus wrote it in blood. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. He looked up at his father and he said, it is finished. What's finished? The battle had been won. Now I'm going to really preach. You have no excuse for being a slave to your sin. If you're an armor bearer, you have no excuse for cussing folk out, talking about I'm going to take off my religion. If you're going to be an armor bearer, you have no excuse to get in your house and argue and carry on like you don't know the other folk in your house and love them. You have no excuse. Well, I couldn't help myself. I couldn't help passing by that ABC store. You have no excuse. Why? Jesus said, it's finished. My enemy has been destroyed. The biggest fight that I'll ever have is the fight with the sin that's in my... I ain't got to fight the devil. People say, I'm fighting the devil. Well, you go ahead. I mean, Jesus already beat him up. I don't know why you getting involved. I got to rebuke him. But I ain't got to fight him. Well, the battle has already been won. What I'm trying to tell you is Jesus says, it's over. Death started coming his way. Death started approaching him. And death started saying, you know, I got you now. Death had not really taken note of what Jesus had been saying all along. Jesus had been saying, I am the resurrection. That's why I couldn't talk about it in Sunday school. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Jesus had already had said his own prophecy. He said, now I'm going to Jerusalem. I'm going to die. He finished the battle. He died. But he said, I will rise again. And a lot of folk forgot the last part. They forgot all about it. But then he closes with these words. Father, into your hand I commit my spirit. Those are actually quoted from Psalm 31 and verse 5. You've said them. I know you say, well, I didn't say that. Yeah, you said them. Every time you were taught that prayer, now I lay me down to sleep. I pray, dear Lord, how many of y'all prayed that prayer? I pray, dear Lord, my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray, dear Lord, you just said those words right there. Into your hands. As an armor bearer, you're in God's hands. You're in good hands. You cannot replicate what was done on the cross, but you can go and tell somebody, Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Every burden, every pain, every heartache, every fear, every trial that you come against, you have the mighty power of God to direct you through every storm that you'll ever face in life. And when death came and took Jesus on the cross, what Jesus was saying to him, that's all right, you can take me now, but 3 days later, I'm going to get back up. And guess what? In your own life, you're going to be able to be more than a conqueror through him that loved you, because God did not bring you this far to leave you now. The full meaning of what the cross means is that God loved you so much that he turned his way, he turned his eyes from his son to look at you and to see you in a different light. He could have said, you know what, I don't want to have anything to do with you all. But because your sin had been taken away, you started looking good. You were a mess before grace came. I told y'all I'm going to get a mirror up here one day and point it right at you so you'd see how you... But because of Christ, we're now beautiful in the eyes of God. Look around this room. You've got some beautiful people here. Despite all their faults, despite all of their shortcomings, these are your brothers and sisters in Christ. God loved you so much, they elevated your status. He said that you are now, whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The battle is won. You know what we need to do now? Celebrate. In your own way, in your own heart, celebrate. Lord, thank you. How many times have you told him thank you for washing away your sin? Are you going to join the crowd and mock, or are you going to join those who were gambling? By the way, all of that was prophesied in Psalm 22. Jesus said they're going to gamble for my clothes. He said that through David. Many hundreds of years earlier, they're going to gamble for my garment. Will you celebrate with the saints? The other Sunday, I had y'all sing a song, Louis Armstrong, When the Saints Go Marching. We ain't going to sing that today. We okay today. We ought to. But I want to sing another song, because if it wasn't for me coming to the cross, I would be in the same place I was before he found me. I came to the cross, and now I celebrate his mercy. Let's pray together. Say this prayer with me. Father, thank you for the cross. I confess that my sins caused the death of your son. Yet I've come to the cross to find a new beginning and a new life. Man, I feel like shouting right there. Your grace and mercy has been poured out through the blood of Jesus that stained that old rugged cross. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap. Down at the cross where my Savior, oh come on, you know him, down where forth from sin I cried, there to my heart was a blood. I'm singing glory to you. Can y'all help me say it? Singing glory. somebody, tell them I'm free. Look at somebody else, tell them I'm free. Amen. When I get to walk in Jerusalem, I want to walk as a free man. We are free by the blood of Jesus. Amen. For those that have joined us online, we trust that you've enjoyed these services. But now is the deciding hour. For those in here and those that are out there, you got to make a decision. Are you going to take up your cross and follow Jesus? Or will you just be a part of the crowd? You got to make a choice and a decision. But I've decided that I will make Jesus my choice. If you decide that same thing, he's going to help you carry the cross through the power of the Holy Spirit. I want to give the invitation. There might be someone who's lost, someone who's never made that confession. He said, preacher, I've never been to the cross. You don't have to go physically to Jerusalem, to the place called Golgotha. Right in the room that you're in, right in this room that we're in right now, you can confess your sin and say, God, would you forgive me of all of my sin? And through Jesus Christ, he will forgive you and give you a new life. If that's your thought today, if that's your prayer, give your life to the Lord. The altar's open. Jesus said, whosoever will, let him come. Everyone today. Everyone. Everybody saved? Y'all ain't saying like you saved. Thank God, amen. Nothing but the blood of again, our walk in just a little bit, but we wanted to recognize the Seven Brew Coffee. They donated some drinks for us today, so we thank you. Let's give them a hand of gratitude. Amen. And that's going to be located in the vestibule as you go out. I'll see you all in just a little bit. Sing happy birthday to the oldest mother in the church. Amen. Her and Miss Maddie and Robert, you here? Amen.
He surprised me. I asked him, I said, are you coming to church today? He said, I don't know, because he can't walk that much. And so when he walked in, I was surprised.
Amen. Well, we're going to sing happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Everybody say Miss Bunny.
Happy birthday, Miss Bunny. Happy birthday to you.
May God bless you.
May God bless you. May God bless you. May God bless you.
Amen. Amen. Happy birthday. Thank you. What a wonderful message. You know, I'm reminded of this black spiritual, you know. Because of the resurrection, I'm going to be walking in Jerusalem just like John. Just like John. Thank you. Father, we thank you for this day. Lord, we thank you that you are able to speak to us today through your manservant. And we do pray, dear God, that we would allow the Holy Spirit to empower us as we leave this sanctuary, that we will be able to communicate this message of hope to all those who have not accepted the resurrection of Christ, that they will trust Jesus and that this change will be made in their lives. Thank you for this message. Thank you, Jesus. And thank you, Lord, for the offering that you have given to us. We praise you, Lord, as we offer it to you, Lord. We pray your blessing upon it, and that men and women, boys and girls, no matter where they are, may have an opportunity to hear the word of God proclaimed and trust Jesus. Thank you for this privilege and opportunity you have given. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord cause the light of his countenance to shine upon you and bless you with his peace this day and all of your tomorrows. Let the church say amen.
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 Yes, I come.